Okay, guys, and welcome back to another episode of DU Locker Room Talks. This week we are joined by two of the men for our men's baseball team here at Dominican. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves, and we're going to get right into it.
Yeah, thanks for having us. My name is Matthew Early. I am a junior transfer.
I am Michael Del Genio. I'm also a junior transfer.
Nice. So just to kind of go over what we're going to be talking about in this episode. So we're going to talk about baseball, obviously. And then we're going to get to know them each individually. And then talk about upcoming games that they have in the spring.
Sounds good.
All right. So we're going to start with Mr. Michael. So, Michael, why did you choose Dominican?
A lot of factors went into it, but when I spoke with the coaches and I took a little tour of the place, I really liked the vibe of the school itself, the whole old-timey Hogwarts type of vibe that everyone knows what I'm talking about with that. And then when I spoke with the coaches, I really liked the culture. I really liked the fact that, like, you had to compete, and you have to compete, and I really got the sense of, like, this is a place where you can come, you can grind. You're going to have to really work for your spot individually, and you're going to have to work to win games in a very top-heavy conference. And that was what I really wanted to go to first and foremost, is just a place where I can compete, find a bunch of guys that I'm ready to rock with and play with and fight to the end of the season with.
Yeah, and then kind of the same thing. Mike touched on it really well, the culture aspect here. That was a main talking point in my visit that I had with Coach Hardman and Dvorak. You know, just guys that are willing to do the work in the off season, whether that be on the field, in the weight room, what that may be, but also the academic side of it too. So coming here in Chicago, getting an opportunity to get a finance degree and kind of kickstart my professional career through their accelerated MBA program, you know, that's something that I'm going to benefit from a lot. But from a baseball perspective, yeah, I mean, Mike hit it right on the head. Guys that are going to come in here, work their butts off, and compete for a NAC title and get a conference championship, something that this program hasn't seen in a long time.
Mm. So you're from Indiana.
Correct, yep.
So why not go to schools in Indiana?
I wanted to expand my horizons a little bit. So I went to school just south of Indianapolis at Franklin College for my first 3 years of schooling. Then I had a redshirt year last year when I broke my hand. I mean, it was cool and all, but, you know, I got a lot of family in the Chicagoland area. So, I mean, they weren't able to come to a lot of my games. This opens more opportunity for my grandparents, my nieces and nephews, you know, my siblings, aunts, uncles to come see me play. I'm a very family-oriented guy, so this gives me a chance to reconnect with some people that, you know, I haven't really seen a whole lot of in the last 3 years. And also gives me an opportunity to grow both as a baseball player and kickstart my career professionally.
Mm. So you're saying professionally, so where would you like to play?
I wasn't saying like necessarily professionally baseball. I mean, obviously if the stars align and, you know, the good Lord above has that in his plan for me, that's definitely something that I would do, but professionally in the sense of, you know, getting into finance and the corporate world and making some good money when I graduate here from the Brennan School.
Well, yeah, who doesn't want to make good money?
Right, exactly. All
right. And then how about you, Michael?
For me personally, in terms of academics,
Yeah,
I mean, I'm just a journalism major. I want to make good money, obviously, not so much, you know, there's not a lot to offer in terms of money-wise, in terms of journalism and business, but one of my big things is just I want to do something I'm passionate about, and something I'm passionate about is writing and telling people's stories, telling my story just in general, because I think that's important for people to share their stories and have that out in the world, and being able to write that and being able to tell people stories, that's something that's really important to me. And at Dominican, I thought that was some place I could do it, and I have done it because I don't know if you even saw one article I wrote actually got published in the last paper, which was really cool.
Really?
Yeah.
What was it called?
It was about Regan Coxon, the All-American soccer player. Mm-hmm. Here. And 2 years ago, she tore her ACL. And this is her first year back, or it's not 2 years ago she tore her, so last year she tore her ACL, and this is her comeback season for her sixth year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really cool story, and I'm really glad I had the opportunity to tell it, and I'm really glad that it got put out there and published.
Yeah, I love her again.
Yeah, she's great.
Well, that's really cool. So you guys seem like you kind of know what you want to do, which is kind of hard. I feel like a lot of people come into college and they don't really, like, know. They're still trying to, like, figure it out, right? So do you guys have any, like, I guess, like, internships lined up or, like, things that you're looking at? Oh, you grabbed that really cool.
I've had a lot of networking calls and a lot of internship opportunities arise in the last couple of years, which I can honestly say is a credit to Dominican and, you know, the connections that they have here. I have a couple that I'm looking forward to pursuing, whether that be in the investment banking industry or just as a role as a corporate financial analyst. But yeah, I have a couple lined up now, and they do a really good job connecting me to professionals in my field, so that way I can network with them.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, the amount of people and the conversations that I'm having these last couple weeks.
It's scary growing up, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
By fast.
That's why I'm playing baseball, is to stay a kid as long as possible. You know, you dream about playing college ball ever since, you know, you could touch a bat. Obviously, you want to play professional, but to get there to play college ball is a really special experience, and that keeps me a kid as long as I can before I have to go work behind a desk for 8 hours for the rest of my life.
Yeah. you say, well, I mean, it's just all about being a kid again, you know. I mean, I played this game since I was 5 years old. It's a game. It's not so much just a sport, it's just a game. You're just having fun. You're out there riding or dying with, you know, everyone, all 40 of us, just playing a game together, having fun, playing loose, and that's what's really kept me in the game, despite, like, injuries or just times where, like, I felt like I just didn't like it anymore. You know, it's just a game after all, and I'm just here to have fun, be a kid as long as I can.
Yeah, it teaches you a lot of good life lessons too, right? Like, a lot of people don't know how to deal with failure in a productive manner, but playing a sport where you're failing 70% of the time at best, like, that teaches you how to turn failure into a positive experience, and you kind of redefine success in that way, too. So it teaches you how to grow up and become a man really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That was intense. I wasn't expecting those.
Bro spoke well.
It's
you,
true.
You, like, went to my, like, third point that I was going to make, but that's fine. Wow, that's crazy. So did you guys play anything else other than baseball growing up, or was that, like, it?
Yeah. I played pretty much every sport under the sun. When I grew up, I was just an active kid. I loved playing, like, with my neighborhood friends. Grade school, I mean, I played basketball, soccer, lacrosse, football. High school was basketball, baseball, but I ran into some knee injuries, and I just played baseball. But, I mean, I love sports just in general, just being out. Just, I don't know, I like doing it in the off season too, something other than baseball. Like, I'll golf in the off season. I'll play basketball in the off season. Just something to get away from baseball for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all about staying competitive. I'm with him on that.
Yeah.
Just sometimes, especially in the off season, sometimes I'm like, man, baseball's like the last thing I want to do. Let me pick up a basketball.
It's true. No, it's really true.
I mean, baseball's a year-round sport, yeah. So you're always throwing, you're always doing something baseball related. So it's fun to just, like, switch that competitive mindset to a different sport.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, for me, I only ran cross country in high school, and besides baseball.
That's brutal. And
why would you, dude? I don't understand.
Cardio is horrible.
I wanted to play football freshman year, but I had a lot of knee problems, and so I ran instead.
These knee problems.
How do you compensate with knee problems with running?
It's the only thing I could convince my parents to let me do at that point. I wanted to do something. How to be active. Dude.
I swam for 2 days in high school. I was on a swim team for 2 days.
2 days? You was crazy? Oh, I was on the bowling team for a week. I was on the bowling team freshman year for a week.
I went to two practices, and I almost drowned in my second practice. And I was like, I'm done. I'm a land animal, dude. I'm a land mammal.
Almost drowned. I'll do that to you.
Yeah.
No, for me, I was done when we started stretching before going to bowling. I was like, bro,
oh my God.
I'm doing all these wrist stretches, all these form exercises. I'm like, okay, dude, this is a little too much. If you're a bowler, I'm sorry, but, like,
yeah,
it's a little too much. Ain't that serious.
We had a bowling class at Franklin, dude.
A bowling class?
Yeah, we don't stretch before you bowl.
We were in form, stretching the wrist out, and I'm like, oh, my God, what are we doing? I'm about to just stretch and do all this just to bowl like 110. And he's like, I see a lot of potential. I'm like, I don't know, bro. I don't think it's there. Passion's not there. I'm low-key just done. I'd rather play, like, intramural basketball. Yeah, I mean, but – yeah, just anything outside of baseball is just so much fun to play. Like I did a softball rec league over the summer. Same with volleyball.
Guys love that.
Just yeah.
They love their softball.
Softball's electric. Summer. It's awesome. Yeah. It's the same type of thing, but like slightly different to the point where like it's just fun. You just go up to the, especially as a pitcher. Mm-hmm. You know, every time I get in that batter's box, I'm like, oh, I'm going yard no matter what.
You're living your dream, dude.
I dream every day of being able to pick up a bat for the first time in years and just absolutely take hacks and just go over the fence.
No, but to your point, yeah, I mean, I love baseball, don't get me wrong, but there's something about escaping it in the off season, man. Like, yeah. There's something to be said about, you know, working out every single day and hitting every single day and doing all the baseball stuff, but to get your mind off it, and whether that be go play pickup with the guys in the gym.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you go, you know, golf on a nice day, like, It's good to take a mental break from it every now and then.
And sometimes that's honestly the best thing you can do if you're struggling in baseball. I've had like a couple times where I'm like, I'm not even going to think or even touch a baseball, touch a bat for like a week until like I actually have to.
Exactly.
Just to get my mind off things. Because like he said earlier, this is a game designed for you to fail. Everything is pushing against you. You're going to fail 70% of the time. And that's being considered good as failing 70% of the time. So like I'll just be like, no, screw baseball. I'm just gonna shoot hoops for a while with my boys and then see what happens after. And then I'll come back and I'll love the sport again and somehow I'm just doing better. Mm-hmm. You know, just getting that mindset off and just seeing success in something else to like put success back into baseball.
Well, it's not good if you're doing the same thing all the time.
Right.
You're gonna get like, what's the word? Like burnout. Burnout. Yeah. So that's good that you guys do different things like bowling.
Bowling's a little goofy,
yeah.
I played some weird sports, yeah.
Dude, I recently picked up pickleball too.
Pickleball's really fun.
Oh my god, yeah. That's electric.
Yes, that's yeah. been fun.
Yeah,
it's a little sweaty. Remember when we were in Chicago and we passed that whole?
There was about like
24 pickleball courts all filled up. People were waiting.
Packed.
So
waiting is a little excessive.
It was like 8:30 p.m. They got a whole light structure. Like
it might have been later than that.
Yeah, I know.
It was just people going to the courts, just playing casual pickup, and I know that's
on,
sweaty.
It's on like TV now, isn't it? Like,
yeah. So it's like cornhole and spikeball.
I love cornhole. Spikeball's made it up.
It's not cornhole. I love
bags,
though.
Bags. Whatever. It's bags. It's called, I know, it's bags. It's bags.
I call it bags.
It's bags.
All right. Yeah.
Sorry.
You're the only weird
I've been
one
from
here.
Southern Indiana the last 3 years where if I said bags, I was ostracized.
You're in Chicago now, buddy, so
I know.
Bags.
I know.
Bags is a classic.
Right. Anyways, getting back to baseball, though. So let's talk about superstitions. do you guys have any?
Yep. Yeah. Too many. Too
okay.
many.
Well,
I have to
pick two.
Okay.
Okay.
One, the main one is I have to put my gear on the exact way before every single time I go up to the plate. So I got to go elbow guard, right glove, left glove, hand guard, thumb guard, and then my helmet. Every single time. Have to. When I get
so
on
what
deck,
if
it's
you
the
mess
exact
it
same
up?
Thing.
What happens?
I take my gear off and restart.
What?
Yep.
That's a little OCD, though. I don't know.
But it's like
superstitious.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both. It's that one, and then if I'm like playing well, I wear the exact socks. I'm like, it's compression shorts, compression pants. Like I wear the same ones. Like if I'm playing well,
it's like a feeling of getting like or staying in a rhythm or getting into the rhythm. Like if you're just following the same procedure, it kind of just clicks your mind and being like, oh, this is what we're about to do right now. We're gonna get into go mode.
Yep.
So I fully understand where you're coming from. Like for me. In between innings, pitching, like, as soon as I go on the mound and as soon as I come off, when I'm in the dugout, I do the same thing. I put my glove in my right elbow, and I'm just saying, like, these same words over and over out loud, just saying the same words, and when I go
what
on
words?
The mound.
Is this a safe for work podcast?
What?
Like,
is this like
can
a
I swear?
Like, yeah, go
oh,
ahead.
Like, I can swear?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Go rip it. Let it rip.
I say, like, if I've had a bad inning and I'm going out for another, that's kind of what I say on the mound in general. Or like if I
might
strike it.
Bleep that one.
If I yeah, sorry, my bad. Hey, you said I could. If,
I didn't
if
know
I strike,
it was gonna get aggressive like that.
If I strike out a hitter, I'm saying, damn, that guy was.
Bleep that course. Too.
Sorry, I'll tone myself down. You asked. But the main thing, if I'm doing good, I'll say it's you versus you, it's me versus me, it's I versus I. Because no one
started with that.
My bad. but that's basically my go-to, is just saying, is just repeating in my head and repeating out loud, you versus you, me versus me, I versus I. No one's going to beat me except for me. You know, because I'm not going to test. I don't throw that hard. You know, I'm not going to be able to throw that hard probably for the rest of my career, and that's okay. I don't care.
What do you throw?
I throw 80 at best.
Are you a righty or
I'm a righty. So it's not it's nothing special.
Okay. I didn't say that. I was just
It was nothing special just in baseball terms.
I mean, yeah, they look for lefties, but
yeah, it's better. It's better if I was throwing 80 as a lefty, it'd be better. You know, and 80's even pushing it for me, but I know I'm not going to beat guys physically, mm-hmm. but I know I can beat them mentally in any way I can. So that's why I'm telling myself all the time, it's you versus you, it's me versus me, it's I versus I, which is kind of a superstition, but I think it's just more of a mentality.
Yeah, you and I take a way different approach to how we do it. I say way different things in my head, dude.
Yeah, well, you have the physical attributes. I have to get a little creative with how I do things.
I battle mentally, dude. I don't know. I say a prayer every time I'm on deck, the same one every single time.
Oh, yeah, you pray. That's a little different.
Yeah, and then I also listen to the... When I got my AirPods in, I listen to the same song as my last song every single time.
What is it?
10:35 by Tate McRae and Tiësto.
Wow, Tate McRae.
Yeah.
Peg you for a Tate McRae guy.
I like to feel loose.
Yeah, Tate McRae is kind of crazy.
Shout out Tate McRae.
I like Tate McRae. Yeah, but I wouldn't. Too. You don't look like a Tate McRae.
No, it surprises a lot of people.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Like, every time?
That's my last song every single time. In high school, it was Turn My Swag On by Soulja Boy. And when I got to college, it was, I don't remember what it was. I think it was some song by Kanye. And then in the last year, it turned into 10:35.
Okay.
What if your phone's dead?
Phone's dead, I'm cooked. I'll sing it in my head.
Sing it out loud.
Karaoke.
Karaoke.
Yeah, team bus to Arkansas.
It's going to happen.
Team bus to Arkansas.
Oh, wait. We're going to get to bus rides.
Okay.
No, for me, my song is like The Chain. Oh my God, what's it by? Holy crap, I'm
sing it.
Blanking.
Yeah, sing it.
Sing
it. I don't know the lyrics off the top of my head.
I'll give you the lyrics.
The Chain.
It's like,
is it the dubstep? Is it Fleetwood Mac?
Yeah, Fleetwood Mac. Oh my God, I was blanking so hard.
We might get copyright issues if I play this out loud. Oh, yeah, okay,
that one.
Yeah. Gotcha.
That's a big one for me. Gotcha. Or
you say that and then you still play it. I don't know.
Well, it was like a quick second. Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll live. Chain is my like last song, and then the other song, I guess, is just my walkout, which is just Real Gone by Sheryl Crow.
That's a banger.
I swear to God, if anyone steals it this
Lightning year, Lightning McQueen, boy.
You know you ever seen Cars, the movie?
Yeah.
It's the intro song.
Oh.
Where he's in
Speed. Oh, like Speed.
Pause.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm American made. I know the lyrics to that. Yeah.
Is that where you got your words of
It's kind of a little, yeah, you know, maybe a little bit.
I don't think
he
says that in Cars. But.
No, he doesn't.
But
I don't think he says that.
Unless we're watching different types of Cars.
Maybe the pirated version of Cars.
That's one with some random guy dubbing it. Yeah, no.
All right, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about numbers. Did you guys have, like, the same numbers throughout your seasons? Does that, like, matter to you?
Like, in college?
Yeah. In high school, too, actually.
In high school, I switched around a lot. My freshman year, I was 32. Mm-hmm. It was just because it was first come, first serve. Yeah. And based on sizes. And then every year after that, I was 22. My favorite number is 2. And so I was like, let me double up. So 2 2s. I know it's dumb. But now 22. And then in college, ever since I came to college, my freshman year, my coach had every player write down, like, their top 3 numbers. So I put 22, 2, 44. 44 because it's double. Triple twos. Anyway.
That's not triple twos.
It's 22 times 2. 44.
Okay,
there you go. Yeah, I know. It sounds dumb on paper.
What?
Anyway, hold on.
Keep going.
And so for some reason, no one else requested the number 22. Mm-hmm. So my coach was like, okay, here's number 99. And so I got number 99, and some other guy that didn't request 22 got 22, and I was like,
who?
Oh, his name's Charlie Sukup.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is he funny?
Cole, my roommate Cole would find
him
funny.
You said his name and immediately start, huh?
My roommate Cole would find it funny, so would a couple other guys from that team.
Perfect.
Nice. But I don't know. I doubt they're going to listen to that, but I'll mention to them later. And then now I'm 99 ever since, because now it's just kind of a shtick to it, and I just chose 99 this year again.
Mm-hmm.
Made sure to snag that, because I kind of like it.
99's nice. It's kind of high, though.
Number. It's a good pitcher number, though.
Spencer Strider.
Especially, exactly, who I model my game after.
Really?
Yeah.
That was another question.
Minus the B-low.
Took it again.
So originally when I played travel ball, I was number 23. It started out because my favorite player at the time, like all time, was Ryan Sandberg. Grew up a Cubs fan. Then it kind of grew into a deeper meaning, to where it was my brother's birth month and then my birthday added together was 23. And then eventually, like, I couldn't have 23 when I got to college or high school, because it was too big of a jersey. So I landed on 18, which just happens to be my birthday. So I just rode with 18, and that's been my number ever since I was a sophomore in high school up until even to today.
Mm. Okay. So you're very, like, critical thinking when it comes to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like Mr. Michael over here is, like, whatever.
It's a blessing and a curse.
It seems like you think very highly in a lot of different ways, like just from talking to both of you.
Yeah, well, that's supposed to mean
it's not even a bad thing. No, you're just more like chill. Like you're more chill.
I'm just rolling with the punches. Whatever happens. Yeah. You know, you can only do so much. Control. You know.
Right.
Sometimes you can't control.
There's nothing wrong with being too regimented.
It's a blessing and a curse. You know what I mean? Like I can get too hypercritical, but also at the same time, when I am hypercritical, that's where I find success.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll name the episode that. You said a lot of motivational things in this episode.
I'm slacking over here.
Yeah.
Here I am saying, I kind of want to repeat it again.
Dude, yeah, we don't need more bleeps in this episode, Mike. Jeez.
Might as well. Shit.
First and last appearance on DU Locker Room Talk. Holy.
Hey, y'all ass.
Yeah. Anyways. Okay. So let's talk about game days. So obviously you guys are transfers, so you haven't had game days technically, but have the guys told you anything about how those are? Like, are you looking forward to them?
I don't know. All I know is that we got to drive the Boomers.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing, because, like, I don't know what different things we could even expect from a game day.
I mean, I feel like no matter where you go in college, it's the same thing. You get up, stretch, BP. Stretch, IO, game, no?
Yes, yes and no, because I feel like a lot of the teams I talk to now, they have their own little thing. Like, at Dominican, there's, like,
but, like...
Even the guys, too.
In the sense of, like, college baseball, it's pretty structured, no matter where you go. Mm-hmm. So, it's, like, show up to the field, let's just say 3 hours before game time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get there, we'll have a locker room, so we'll get to chill out in the locker room, kind of get our mind and body right, go out. I'd imagine we do a little bit of team stretch.
Yeah, I hope so.
And then we'll hit on the field.
Yeah.
Go back in the locker room, chill out, stretch, take in and out, and then play.
Yeah. I feel like
that's pretty typical.
I don't know if Dominican has, like, their own little ritual type of thing or whatever.
That's what I meant.
They might have some extra thing. I don't know.
No idea.
I never even asked because that never even occurred to me that could be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went to a JUCO, so a lot of my time was also just spent, like, making sure the field was okay. Like, we had to actually make the field.
Yeah.
So that's the only difference. So instead
groundskeeping?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We also had to do groundskeeping.
I don't think we have to do it here, do we?
No, I believe Wintrust has their own grounds crew.
Which is kind of nice. So it's kind of good to take a break from that for, I guess, the rest of my career.
Yeah.
Thank God, because we would be out there in some downpouring rain fixing that field.
Yeah.
So how did preseason go? How are you guys feeling about each other?
Good. Really, really good. I think, from the coaching perspective, what they told us and the guys that have been here, this is the most complete group that we have as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of sets us up really well to make a tournament run, kind of like what I was talking about. Like I don't think we've had a conference tournament championship in our program. I'm not sure. I can't confirm that. That's just what I've heard. If that may be the case, you know, I think this is a team that can actually do it. I think we have a lot of veteran leadership, both guys that have been here and transfers that have kind of been around college baseball enough to kind of understand how, you know, the whole process works and the length of the season. You know, it gets taxing. I'm really excited. I think our bats are going to be really good. I think our pitching depth is going to be really good. And we just have a good group of guys who seem to be bought into what we're doing here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the fall was just really reassuring, especially as time went on. Because, like, the first few practices can be a little shaky. But even then, those first few practices were really nice. They were pretty smooth.
Mm-hmm.
There was maybe, like, 4 tops instances where I'm like, okay, this is just – we're kind of just goofing around a little bit. But
mm-hmm.
overall, I mean, that was – that's in my – 3 years, that's the best fall baseball, college baseball experience I've ever had.
100%.
Like, 100%. Everyone was locked in from the jump. I saw people take big strides in their play
mm-hmm.
just from that, like, 2-month period, and it was just awesome to see.
Yeah. From my understanding, do you guys go to Florida?
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep,
we'll fly to Florida.
Okay. So do you guys go the same time as softball?
I have no idea.
Are you
I think we're like I think it's spring break,
no?
So I'd imagine.
Yeah. Oh, so March.
Yeah, like mid late
yeah,
March.
Yeah.
Okay, I only know this because it's my birthday. But
okay.
Fair enough.
Yes. But
it's
okay.
A great time to have it.
Spring break.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Do you go anywhere for spring break?
It just depends. This is a kind of a big one. I'm gonna be 23.
Oh wow!
Where are you headed?
I don't know yet. I gotta figure it out. We're in October, or almost November, so.
There's going to be one of 3 places. It's going to be Cabo, Lottie, or...
Okay.
Yeah.
Turks and Caicos or
no,
something.
No,
Miami,
no.
Fort Lauderdale.
Miami?
My money's on Cabo.
Miami's
my money's on Cabo.
Cabo. Cabo's a classic.
Miami is dirty.
Miami is... No, Miami's sick.
Never
I
been.
Loved Miami.
Well, okay, this is from a guy's perspective,
I was also,
though.
Like, 13 when I went.
Oh, yeah,
oh, okay.
You weren't. Outside.
No.
No.
I wasn't experiencing fully Miami.
No,
yeah.
Yeah.
Especially during spring break.
No, I haven't had a spring break since I was in high school. Or,
yeah,
no, not even.
Like,
middle school.
Really?
Yeah.
But you're playing baseball.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember 1 year I tried to ask my dad if I could go on vacation with my friends, but we had, like, 1 practice during spring break.
Yeah.
And he was like, no. You got practice.
Yeah,
I was like, it's 1
just
practice.
Immediately.
You don't get spring breaks when you're playing a spring sport.
You don't get spring break. Summer break is optional.
You know, I haven't had a summer break since I've been in college.
Yeah, I've not been on, like, a real vacation.
How is that? You always have to like it, right?
No, I love it. It's
but
so,
there's definitely stuff that you do miss out on.
Well, yeah,
yeah.
Stuff, you know?
When I'm out or I'm up in Traverse City for a summer, I'm in Southern Indiana playing summer ball, like. And I'm seeing all my friends on the lake or, you know, they're out making money and spending their weekends, you know, in Nashville.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, I kind of want to be a kid a little bit. But at the same time, it's like I'm spending my summer doing what I love. And, like, I'm not worrying about sitting behind a desk, you know. I'm worried about.
Not yet.
Yeah.
I'm worried about getting to the field at 3:00 for BP for a 7:00 game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's you get to kind of live. Well, from my experience playing summer ball the last 3 years, you kind of get to experience what it's like to be a minor leaguer for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, like, your life is completely dedicated to baseball for 2 months. You don't got to worry about school. You don't got to worry about projects,
mm-hmm.
meetings, nothing. You are going to the field, playing a game, going to bed, waking up, getting your body ready to play another game.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's pretty much right. Like, your life is completely dedicated to the sport. And that's a good thing, honestly. Because I the more I look back on it, the more I'm kind of grateful for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's... I got the rest of my life to chill out in the sun at a beach. There's only so many years you can play baseball
exactly.
before you literally physically cannot play baseball.
Well, that's, like, kind of the beautiful thing about D3, isn't it? I feel like there's definitely more, like, a little bit more leniency.
A little
like,
bit?
Yes, in comparison to, like, D1.
Like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. But you're still getting
ahead.
That competitiveness. I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like. The thing is like the guys that treat it like a quote unquote it's just a D3 sport
mm-hmm.
are the guys that fall behind the pack,
yeah.
right?
Mm.
But the guys that treat it to where the seriousness as like acting like you're at a Division I program or you're in a minor league program
mm-hmm.
or organization are the guys going to make strides. So those guys are going to succeed, going to go further in baseball. Those are going to be your All-Americans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of figuring out the balance of. You know, it's not as serious as I think it is because it's just a game. But also, like, I want to be the best in my sport possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to treat this like it's not just something I do
yeah.
while I'm getting an education.
And that's almost, like, one of the best pieces of advice I've ever received was last year is my coach came up to me. He's like, just big league it. Just pretend like
yeah.
it's, like, the most serious game. Like, this is life or death. Like, a million fans are watching. Just
yeah.
big league it. Yeah, that's the best advice I've ever gotten because I'm just like, oh, yeah, I got to take it serious. Like, yes, it's a game. Yes, it's junior college. But you got to do what you got to do. That's the only way you're going to get better is pretending like it is big league game, treating it as serious as possible, but also finding that middle ground of it is a game, have fun, be loose. But you got to know those moments where you're like, I have to lock in, I have to take it as serious as possible, and I have to compete.
Yeah, like have you ever heard, like, dress for the job you want, not for the job you have?
Exactly.
It's the exact same thing, right? Like, yeah. If you want to play pro, you can't act like it's a Division III sport. You got to act and go about your business like a professional.
Well, okay, the funny thing about D3, in my opinion, is that people don't talk about, like, you guys are coming here, no scholarships.
Right.
Like, you are fully, like, committing yourself to a sport, but you're not gaining technically anything, like, financially, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of these people sign to D2s and D1s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, if anything, that says a lot about you two, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, kind of just to play off of what you both said.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
It's a lovely game. I haven't gotten paid the last 15 years to play this game. What's another two more?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I don't need money to play a game. Mm. Don't need that. It'd be great, you know, but don't need it.
That's good. I'm glad you're frugal.
You know, I do kind of need it like that. I'm not frugal. I kind of need it, but I don't need it to be happy.
That's why we work valet on the weekends.
Yeah, that's why I'm spending my nights in downtown Chicago driving other people's frugal cars.
That's good. So what goals do you guys have for yourself individually coming up in the spring for baseball?
My goals would be at minimum all-region. First team all region, you know. I mean, I'm shooting high. I mean, I had a good fall, coming off a pretty good summer. Obviously, like, my goal personally for this year is, one, as a team, win a conference tournament, right? I want to go to a regional. I want to go to a super regional. But personally, I want to have a good enough year statistically to both grow as a human being and a baseball player. But I would love to have an accolade on my resume a little bit. I kind of want to be an all-region guy, possibly All-American, but that takes work.
Mm. I mean, an accolade would be nice. Yeah, I fully agree. All-region, any sort of that, you know, type of stuff would be great. My personal goal is honestly just because Coach Hardman, he had us write, like, on a piece of note paper, what's, like, your goal for the season.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote three things. I wrote compete, gratitude, and mentorship.
Mm.
Because I'm an older guy and
how old?
I'm junior, so I'm 20. I'm about to turn 21 in a month.
You're not old.
I'm in, like, upperclassmen.
In baseball years, 21's a fossil.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
I mean, I got two more years left to play this game, less than now, so.
Yeah.
Clock's ticking, and, you know, that's probably, once that clock, you know, hits zero, I'm probably out of the game for my entire life, besides coaching my kid or doing any sort of stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's when it's all done. And so I'm basically a fossil. I mean, a lot of the freshmen call me Unk, which is not great. That's very unfortunate. I'll be working out, and they're like, Unk's about to break his hip. And I'm like, bro.
Wow.
Yeah. But, no, anyway, yeah. So, but compete is, like, a big thing for me. I'm here to win. I'm here to help the team as best I can to win. Like I told you earlier, I'm a reliever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's my job to come in, shut innings down. And that's what I want to do. I want to do my job as best I can, put us in the best position to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to gratitude, just being grateful for every opportunity I'm given in game and out of game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's only so much time I have left. I want to be grateful for every moment I step on that field. It's like every time I get in between those two white lines, my heart sets ablaze.
Bleep.
My bad. It just sets on fire, and I'm just reignited every time just with the passion to play the game and play it as best I can. Clock's ticking. Only so many opportunities I'm out there left, you know.
So you don't want to use baseball after you're done?
I would kill to, but right now.
But it's different. I get it.
It's different, yeah. And then for the third one, mentorship. My biggest thing right now is ensuring that the future of these guys that are younger than me are gonna excel in every way they can,
mm-hmm.
and help the program in any way they can. I talk to the freshman pitchers all the time. A lot of the sophomores. I've talked to a couple older guys and just been like, you know, here's what I think could be improved. Here's, you know, what I think you do really well, and just kind of providing just an olive branch to these guys to help them get better in any way. Even non-pitchers, I've talked to a bunch of guys about hitting, you know, just guys that are willing to listen, hear my advice. You know, 15 years of playing the game, I hit my entire life. I was only a pitcher starting 3 years ago. You know, I know what I'm talking about. I know he knows what he's talking about when it comes to baseball. We're all baseball minds. And if I can help others, you know, learn more, mm-hmm. that's the biggest thing for me this season, is just providing mentorship, especially next year as well, and just being a leader for a lot of the younger guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's great. I think to kind of just finish this off, but what do you both, I guess, like, as teammates, but also I'm sure that you guys have all kind of developed a little bond now that since you guys are transfers, right? Mm-hmm. Is there a lot of transfers, by the
six
way?
Of us.
Yeah, six.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, five now.
Okay.
Cole.
Oh, yeah. My
your
yeah.
roommate?
Yeah, he
you forgot
he
about your roommate?
Oh, well, I forgot that he doesn't count anymore, yeah.
Oh.
Technically. And he's still one of our boys. He's still part of the team. But
yeah. I see that man every day.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
Well, you live with him?
Yeah.
Assuming.
Well, I actually don't see him every day.
But,
sorry.
Yeah. But anyways, just to kind of finish off, though, so how do you think that you guys can make Dominican baseball the best it can be collectively?
Provide another, like, lens of baseball, right? So what I learned a lot the last year, especially when I was in Traverse City, shout out Coach Reeves, he's up at Western Michigan now. He taught us that there's more to baseball than what the stat book says. So, for example, like, you may go 1-for-5 on a day, which is 200 in the books, but look at your quality at bats. Did you hit a ball hard? How many pitches did you see? Did you get a job done, right? It's redefining success in a game full of failure is what I've learned to kind of accomplish, and something that I'm trying to pass down to younger minds too, right? Like, I was a freshman. I was a sophomore at some point. You're immature when you come into college baseball.
Yeah.
It's a big growth period that you got to go through, and a lot of it is tackling what's in between the ears. And once you can master how to manipulate your mind in a way to form success or form failure through the view or in the lens of success, that's when you're going to have success on the field. Mm-hmm. And you're not caring so much about results. If I hit a ball 110 and it's an out, I won that at bat, right?
Yeah.
It may be going down as an out in the book, but I stuck to my process.
That's where I disagree as a pitcher.
I stuck to my process. I did what I had to do, and the baseball gods had another plan. Right, mm-hmm. So it's just figuring out and providing that lens of redefining failure into success.
That's a great mindset to have too. I mean, like I said just now, like, hit a ball 110 miles an hour, yeah, it's a success as a hitter. What I've been telling the pitchers is, like, doesn't matter how hard the guy hits it, it's an out. You're one step closer to getting right back in the dugout, and it's just different mindsets from two different positions and just different outlooks, different lenses. Like he said, it's a great
mm-hmm.
it's a great way to put it. It's just like the little things matter. It's just redefining success, being like, you go 1-for-5, like he just said, you know, but finding different ways, like how many pitches you saw, you know, how hard you hit the ball, just redefining success in different lenses. And that's a great way to put it, mindset wise. And I think that's something that a lot of guys are starting to learn, because when you're younger, you're cocky. You're really cocky. I remember my last 2 years, I thought I was hot shit. You know, and I'm sure that was probably same for him, same for a lot of guys, you know, on
you
our team
that
right
anymore.
Now. God, no.
No.
Well, I mean, yeah, you come in from high school, you know, you could be an all-region guy, all-conference guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But every single one of the freshmen that's coming in was all-region, all-conference, you know, top five in their state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's, how do I stand out from a guy who's just like me?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes beyond the physical attributes. It's winning the game between the ears.
Yep.
And if I can pass that down to freshmen, sophomores, whatever that may be,
yep.
then that's a win for me this year. And considering that every single one of our captains this year in the fall was a senior or is going to be a senior or graduate, you know, that opens up the door for a lot of guys that, you know, need to pass down that leadership to the next group of quote-unquote captains on our team.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, especially when you're older. Like, yes, you're doing your job of competing and playing on the field, but you also got to do a great job of helping out those younger players, kind of be like, yes, you were all conference, you were all region, you were this, saying high school, this is college. Even though, yes, some might say it's only D3, but that's where you're wrong. College will humble you at any level. You will think you're hot shit one day, and the next thing you know, you realize you're just like the rest, and you got to find a way to stand out, got to find a way to get better, improve, and then stand out.
Because mm-hmm.
it's a leap regardless of where you go.
Yeah. Wow, that was awesome. That was a great way to end. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it.
But I'm just going to end on, you know, I hope that you guys have a good season. Obviously, I'll definitely. definitely be there. I'm sure most people will. But yeah, I hope it's a good season. It was nice meeting you guys.
Thank you. Nice meeting you too.